Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Kukuletu Mfupi. You are far too quiet. Where are my people? Mubulawa, SS Tombe, Tumza, Malitsima from Springs. Usually we do the show together. You share your voice notes and we play them. 063-688-0959. We definitely want to hear your thoughts and your feedback in just a moment. My next guest is going to help us understand the influence equation and how and why we see the bravest brands collaborate with creators and how they do that effectively. Murray Legg, co-founder of Webfluential, joins us this evening. Murray, such a pleasure to have you with us, and thank you so much for your patience with us this evening. There's a lot that we've been discussing, but this one is a very critical conversation because, as mentioned, I was at a conference in Germany just last week, and it was so interesting to see this culmination and convergence of influencers and social media together with the role and responsibility of journalism and journalists and how they represent the media. And that really stood out for me because it tells us about the power of influencing and the power of social media. And maybe let's start there, just to set the tone, especially on the back of your agency, Webfluential, on how you've noticed just this growing demand, optimism, usage, and partnership of strength of social media together with influencers. What does it look like in South Africa?
Yeah, it's great to be on your show. Thanks so much for having me, Kukuletu, and good evening to all the listeners out there. I think, what's been great is just is listening to these past conversations, whether they've been about Bitcoin or the economy and investment banking. They all sort of touch on a part of my history as well. And I think the fascination is that, I mean, at least in the US, now 20% of the youth want to become influencers.
20.
So there's no more. Yep. There's no more doctors. There's no more firemen. There's no more taxi drivers. There are ambitions to be content creators. And I'm sure if we did a survey, we would find that there are similar numbers in South Africa. And for good reason. I think, there's this, there's asymmetry in how much you need to invest into yourself to be able to earn some really good economic rewards. And I mean, to echo an example that you just mentioned, on your trip to Germany, Tesla recently announced the robo-taxi format of their car in Austin. And in the same way that you would have Paris Fashion Week, where the catwalk would be lined with journalists and magazines, uh-huh. Now the only people that were invited in person to Tesla's robo-taxi were influencers.
Sure.
And it just speaks so much to the truth of how powerful the messaging, the distribution, the authenticity, the trust. There's so much that's coming out of this. And it's for the same reason that people like listening to you. You help them make sense of the world. And you're a human point that they can interact with. They can see your response in real time. I mean, look how much news you've just covered in the show today. And people are better off for it because of people like you. Less so than these news establishments where there's political influence and there's, brands getting involved and there's mixed messaging. People just want to hear the truth, and they just want to have it in a story that's entertaining and in a story, and then there's traction. So that's kind of what we're rallying around.
100%. Thank you for that, Murray. And I'm glad that you've painted that picture, right, just in terms of sharing a story, building a sense of community. There's trust, and you can actually then continue with the rollout of your messaging. Because for a lot of people, I have a niece who is a Gen X. My parents are baby boomers. And I remember at one point she was like, I want to start a YouTube channel. And I'm sure in their mind they thought, influencing? You just want to be famous on the internet for potentially the wrong things. And maybe that's where we also need to get a better grasp of the definition of influencers and influencing and how that's shifted. No longer is it about thirst traps, as they call them, or weird accounts, but it really is about sharing a story authentically and one that resonates with the community. Take us deeper into that understanding, the shift in the definition of influencers and influencing. Yeah.
So it's very correlated to the change of the media channels that we have today. So the traditional media channels were sort of television and newspaper in a unidirectional way. So a brand could buy an advert, or a journalist could write an article, and everybody that consumed that took that as fact. And there was no feedback loop. There was no open discussion in the sort of the public square, which digital has now allowed for. So now the digital public square of, you know, of conversation is about these topical issues. Mm-hmm. So now you have this immediate feedback loop as to, no, that's not exactly the truth. No, this isn't what happened. This is the story of it. So so I think what's happened is, you know, the speed at which the change has happened in the media that we are exposed to has meant that the new titans of this media world are those that engage in feedback. Yeah. They are held accountable by their audiences, and they can, you know, live and die by the day of this trust and authenticity that they deliver or don't. So you have almost this market feedback or market pricing of authenticity, yeah, where the most authentic people are the ones that are being supported, getting the most engagement, growing their following, distributing message. So it's a great time to be in because there's lots of people entering this race, but at the same time, they held to a very high standard, yeah, and have to do something exceptional to sustain their audience.
100%. I'm glad that you highlight that, because it's not just the maintenance of the audience, but the association and partnership as well with the right brands. Because what we found in the world of influencing and social media is that there's an association that often happens. And once that's established, it builds trust. So I'm quite keen, you know, to talk about, you know, how we've seen that partnership as well evolving, where brands are very deliberate and intentional about the quality of collaborations that they seek with creators.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's so many examples of it. So I think if we have to look at maybe some success metrics, so let's zoom all the way to the end. Let's say, you know, South Africa has an established marketplace for creators. Brands are working well with them, which they already are. But if we had to pin down international case studies, let's just look, you know, just yesterday was the Wimbledon men's final. Yes. Previous winner, Roger Federer. Roger Federer's net wealth is $1.3 billion. And if you had to say to someone, okay, of that 1.3, how much do you imagine he would have got out of it in his winnings? Is all of his successes, as many Grand Slams as he won, mm-hmm, it was only 10%. $130 million.
Not even a quarter.
The rest, literally 10%.
Sure.
So the rest of it was made through two things. One was brand endorsements. Mm-hmm. So that's Ferrero Rocher, it's Rolex, it's, you know, the brands that, you know, Nike, the brands that, that sponsor him.
Yes.
But there's one single transaction that accounts for half his wealth, which is on shoes. So the story of what happened there was he liked the comfort of these shoes, you know, On Shoes, On Air Shoes. It wasn't really a brand, you know, that was known, but he really liked the performance of them, and they had that weird kind of shape of the sole. So he said, okay, I'd love to work with you. I'll give you the feedback on this in, you know, from a professional sportsman that you can take on board to refine the engineering. And you don't have to pay me as an ambassador. You don't have to pay me as an influencer for every post or tweet or Instagram photo of me with your shoes. I'm just going to take 3% of the equity of your company. Mm-hmm. And that equity is worth $500 million now. Mm-hmm. Just because of a single relationship that was good for the brand, mm-hmm, it was good for him, and it was good for the whole audience that follows and uses that shoe. So that's an outcome. But if we have to now go back to today and say, how do we get there?
Yes.
Because I think a lot of people are interested, whether they are brands interested in making successes like On has done, or whether they're creators like your niece and are interested in earning good money and working with brands. There's an equation that we've kind of settled on. And we've touched on two of the elements already in the conversation. One is creative content, something that's entertaining, that we love, that's cool to watch. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Second part is authentic connections with your audience.
Yes.
So it's beyond just putting up something funny on TikTok. It's actually engaging with your audience. What do you want to see? How can I do this more? Let's co-create something. Great example there, Mr. Beast. I mean, his brand that he's launched is Feastables, which is now kind of head and shoulders over Hershey's, you know, this century old brand. But he is a great way, because with, you know, whether it's Beast Games or any of his YouTubes, he's involving his audience in the fun. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes him engaged with them. And then the last portion of the equation. So we've got creative content, authentic connections. And the last part is creator commerce. And creator commerce has kind of a lot to it, but it's reimagining how we buy the things that we aspire to use, where, you know, whether they are brands, new products. It's things that we, you know, us, we each have a similar persona to an audience, and there are certain things that we need or do or want to experience as part of life's journey.
I just want to expand on that, because what I've also noticed, Marie, just in terms of, you know, creator commerce, so often it's always like a mug, a T-shirt. Is that where we're talking about, or is it really finding a level of sustainability and heightened level of compatibility to the creators?
So, I mean, influencer merch is one thing. So, you know, they might have swag and a hoodie and you could buy that. That's cool. You know, that's a physical product. They might also have a digital product. I mean, we know so many mommy bloggers that have so many incredible pieces of up-to-date content that is beneficial to their kids. And they make money. There's no marginal cost to every sale that they make. Oh, every download of that PDF is no, there's no cost to it. So they're making money like that. So commerce doesn't have to be just their own things. They can be branded things. So I can say, if I'm into fly fishing, this is the rod that I use, this is the reel that I use, and this is what I would recommend that you should buy. Mm. And I can earn a commission on that. So that's an affiliate commerce transaction. But I can also go to the brand and I can say, let's co-create something that we know the audience wants, and let's do this together.
I see.
So then you get like the energy drinks like Mo Fire.
Yes.
You know, absolutely dominant in the South African space. Why? Because it's related to a personality. Mm-hmm. It's not just another, you know, drink in the fridge. Here I'm buying into the lifestyle that is, you know, communicated and portrayed. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways that creator commerce can happen. And that's the way to really make the money out of this. So, you know, if we think old school, we think Time Magazine, Forbes lists. Okay, what have both those magazines come out with this year for the first time ever? The top creator lists.
What?
And the most valuable creators. So on Forbes, you've got a Forbes creator list now. Who's at the top? Mr. Beast.
Sheesh.
All of these guys and how many millions of dollars they're making? Because they're seeing this. This is the new future.
Yeah.
Time, who are the most influential influencers? Who are the sense makers that are understanding the world, putting it into layman's terms, and sustaining their audience? So people are the new format of media for the people.
That, I think, is a line we should all hold on to. People are the new format of media for people. And you're quite right, because what I've also learned is that when we comes to looking for information, whether it's formal news, economic data, or just what are the latest makeup trends for you know, for anyone, we want to find that information on where we're scrolling and where we are. So it needs to be accessible, it needs to be timeless, and as you said, it also needs to be relatable in terms of the content and how it's being delivered. What I guess I'm so intrigued by here, Marie, is there space for everyone? I think of Rihanna with her makeup brand, Beyonce with her hair brand, Selena Gomez with a different stance to her makeup brand, Kim Kardashian with Skims, and you know, the back and forth she's been in with some of the transactions. So it almost seems as though there's a sense of celebrity that heightens the influence, which then heightens the value of the influencer. But the higher you go, the smaller the space is available at the top. So what does that dynamic look like, especially from a South African point of view?
I mean, it'll be a little bit of a radical view, but you cannot launch a new brand today without a creator. If you want to, you're going to spend so much money on media to try and buy your way to credibility. That ship has sailed. Every brand that launches from today on, and every brand that exists into the future, is going to be led by creators. That's the truth of it. And the creators will help in the content. They'll help in the distribution. They'll help in, you know, sharing the message and the evolution and getting the feedback from the audience of how this thing should look in the next year. That's just the nature of it. So if you're an entrepreneur out there thinking to start a brand, you literally cannot start it without a creator. The recipe is different now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't build a product, launch a website, and hope it's going to work. You've got to build a community.
Yes.
And you've got to have creators talk about it, and you've got to hear what they want, and then you've got to satisfy the need. And that's the way. So some brands will sustain themselves, but I think the disruption is, it's happening right now. And it's coming for them.
Sure. Does that also stand true for existing brands that might have been, you know, tried and trusted in the industry? I'm thinking banking, telecoms, financial services. They also have been shifting in terms of their approach to clients. What does that look like for them? Because I can imagine that's, you know, part of the team and the ecosystem that you also work with.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, you know, we're very lucky to work with all the banks, all the insurers. Mm. Pretty much all the leading brands in the country are saying, tell us how we can do this. Mm. Tell us how we can be community first. And it's community first is actually, that's what you're looking to do. There's ways to go about it, and Create is the most obvious way to do that. So the brands are doing a great job of it now. I think they can only do more. And they will do more. I think, you know, if you look at the split of how budget was spent on television and where it's moving to now, you know, you're already past 50% now going to digital. And within digital, you're also going to go beyond 50% of that into creator. WPP announced that across their whole media house globally, they spend more on creators than they do on traditional media.
Whoa.
So that change happened this year. And I think the best advice to brands is to embrace this. It's very similar to artificial intelligence and everyone out there worried about being replaced and losing a job because of it. You have to embrace it. And it's the same for creators. It's start working with them, even if it's just one or two. But you're going to have fun. You're going to learn something. It's not this thing reserved for the top 100 brands in the world.
Yeah.
Anyone can do this. We've seen one-man brands launch products in America from China. You know, they book an influencer, they send them some material, they get content out there, and they're up and running. And so we're lucky to do that. And I think, for us, our ambition is to really create the ecosystem of creators in Africa. So we want to see 100 creators in Africa become millionaires. That's our ambition. For the next few years, and some are very much well on their way. So that's how we like to see the evolution of this industry changing.
I can imagine. Murray, this is probably a question you get asked quite often, the school drop-off, the boardroom around the braai, but do we have estimates around the highest paid influencer in South Africa? You don't have to tell us who, maybe just the number.
I mean, I think there's some pretty strong contracts around those, but there are definitely people earning north of a few million a year for the work that they do, and it's, you know, they deserve every penny of it.
Yeah, got you.
Yeah.
On that note, as I update my profile, I don't know to what, but it won't include any TikTok dances. But you've definitely taught us quite a bit here, Murray. And if anything, I think a tough lesson for traditional media platforms to learn, but as you said, adapt to the environment, you know, much like we have always been doing in the industry. This is just another theme and a development that's also taking place. Launching a new brand will be impossible without a content creator or influencer, essentially, to build up on the community that you want to establish. That is the one line that stuck with me tonight. Murray, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you. Have a lovely evening. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. That is Murray Legg, co-founder of Webfluential, joining us tonight, helping us understand, yay, the influence equation, how things are changing and evolving in the world. And I think for anyone who works in advertising, in media, in marketing, for brand agencies, even for established brands themselves, these are part of the conversations that I've also been witnessing. And I think it, beyond just the revenue streams, it also speaks to how it is that we source information. The fact that you, Temba, Dumza, my people pulled through. Guys, we're going to play your voice notes in a moment. I'm so excited. Oh, ngiyabonga. I'm seeing your voice notes and we're going to play them in just a moment. But that's the point. The fact that I have you listening right now between 6 and 8 is really a huge benefit and, dare I say, a blessing in the media industry. And it is actually a blessing because the truth is you could be on TikTok right now. You could be listening to a podcast right now. You could be watching TV right now and streaming Shaka Ilembe from last night. That's the point. You've got so many options in terms of media, but the fact that you still make a committed effort to listen to a radio station like Kaya 959, you listen to Kaya Biz, you have appointment viewing with certain TV shows that you like to watch, you'll stay tuned for Pimelo after 8 o'clock. That is something that we in South Africa need to take not only accept with great appreciation and acknowledgement, but also understand how we continue to make it fruitful and viable for you as the listener. So, man, there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot that's happening in the world, and really echoes some of the sentiment I heard in Germany, where the world of journalism and influencing is now becoming one thing. Before you hear the news from me, you might just see it on an Instagram post. So that's how we need to manage the dynamic of the world of media going forward.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.